appreciating the Bible. And it was a Bible study, a layout that wanted us to appreciate the fact that God preserved it, God wrote it, God told us exactly what He wanted us to know, and all the things that took place, how the devils tried to destroy it forever and ever and ever, but God kept it preserved for us. And then, you know, you appreciate a love letter, you appreciate a encouraging note, you appreciate some instruction when you're needing it, and so we ought to appreciate the Bible. Then we talked about how to approach it. Obviously, it's God's word. It's not like any other book. It is unique in its power. It's alive, you know, and it can speak to our hearts and things like that. So how to approach it? We ought to approach it that way. And then last week we talked about absorbing, and we talked about how to be the quicker picker upper, and how that bounty, you know, sucks up all that stuff. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to suck up the nutrients from the Bible, whether it be devotional reading, whether it be Bible study, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be, you know, preaching, whether it be things like that. We ought to absorb the Bible. And so the next 5 or 6 weeks here, we're going to stay in this title. And this title is called Analyzing the Bible. Analyzing the Bible. Analyzing basically means a study or a determination of the nature and relationship of the parts. So an analytical, I know that sounds a little, you know, maybe above my pay grade, maybe above some people's thinking process, things like that. But analyzing something, that's basically you're looking at the ins and the outs and why it does what it does and how it does what it does and how it affects me and things like that. And so we're supposed to analyze the Bible. And a lot of people might say, well, I'm a Christian. I got saved when I was this many years old, and I know you're supposed to read the Bible. And I try, and I do. But Bible study, you know, that's for the preacher, that's for the Sunday school teacher, and that's it. You know, I beg to differ. I think we ought to all know. It's kind of like, you know, in our church we have two offices that you can fulfill in the church, from one being the pastor, the other being the deacon. And so a lot of times everybody says, okay, we got Brother Robbie, he's the pastor. We got Brother Derek and Brother Raji, they're the deacons. And so that's it. Everybody, you know, they can just handle it. I'm just, you know, and so, but, you know, we don't need to use that as an excuse to, you know, not study the Bible. And again, I know that I'm supposed to study it, and the Bible tells me to study to show myself approved, so I can rightly divide it and not take things out of context and not lead you astray and not allow false doctrines to enter, things like that. So I get it. I guess my study of it may be a little bit more increased, and I have to take it very seriously. But the way I look at it is, you know, this is the way I always thought about this as a teenager, I was like, well, I don't know that I might not be a deacon one day. And I definitely didn't know that I would be a preacher and a pastor one day, and things like that. So, but I would think, you know, the way I looked at it is, so I'm going to try to keep this and learn this, and so that I don't disqualify myself for those things. And so, anyway, that's what we're supposed to do. So analyzing, I know it takes a little bit more effort. Maybe it's not as exciting. You know, the nuts and the bolts sometimes aren't exciting to people. You know, a lot of times when somebody gets in a car, they're excited if it's loud, they're excited if it's fast, they're excited if it's cool looking, and sometimes they're just excited if it gets me from point A to point B, all right? And as long as point A is uphill and point B is downhill, we'll make it, all right? And things like that. But then there's some people, they're excited about the ins and the outs, and they know the spark, and they know the ignite. You know, and they know the injectors, and they know the pistons, and they know the crankshaft, and they know the drive shaft and the axles, and they know all that. And then, you know, that was the way it used to be. You know, if you had some spark and some, you know, things like that, you could get a distributor cap, and you could work on it yourself. Nowadays, my goodness, you know, you have to have a doctorate, you know, in mechanics to be able to even work on your car most of the time these days. And a lot of times I think they do it on purpose, so you have to bring it back to them and they get to do the work so they get the money. But anyway, a lot of times a lot of people aren't excited about the mechanics. You know, and you know, so your dad starts telling you or your friend starts telling you, and you know, you get this glazed over look. oh no, here we go again. They're talking about the mechanics, the analytics, and they, and you know, you could care less. It's blue. All right, I like it because it's blue. I don't like it because, you know. But anyway, same thing with Bible study. A lot of people are like, okay, Christians ought to read the Bible. I get it. It's an instruction manual. I get it. This is a love letter. I get it. But, you know, get in depth studying it. That's for the preacher. That's for the Sunday school class, Sunday school teacher, things like that. So, but anyway, we're going to look at things as far as analytics this time for these next several, and we're going to break it down into six different categories. And so basically when we're studying or determining the nature of the relationship of this book and all its parts, that's the analytic study of the Bible. And so what we're going to do, we're going to find out what it's all about. We're going to find out how it all fits together, and we're going to find out how it benefits me. And so, again, when we study, again, you get into in-depth studies. And so some of you, you had to, you know, take a test, or you had to go through some classes to, I guess, see if you were qualified to do the job that you're doing. Sometimes you'll bring a piece of paper in there and say, okay, I graduated from this, and this is why I can have that job. And sometimes I say, okay, yeah, good, I see the piece of paper, but let's see how good you are. And they've put you through some testing and things like that and so forth. So same thing here. So what we're going to do is six ways to analyze the Bible. We're only going to do one of them tonight. So don't think, six. No, we're just going to look at one tonight, and then next week we'll look at another one and so on and so forth. But the six ways we're going to look at analyzing the Bible is this. We're going to learn how to browse a book. Okay, browse a book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Those are all books of the Bible. And so when you're studying, again, my brain can't hold from Genesis to Revelation in one sitting. My brain and my mouth can't tell y'all from point A to point B, you know, don't have enough time. But we can do it. We can break it down one book at a time. If we say, okay, 66 books, blah, 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 I can't hold all that in there. All right, but we're trying to absorb. We're trying to make some of it stick. And the more repetition you do, the more, just like you learned your ABCs, just like you learned your multiplication tables, just like you learned things, it was just because repetition over and over. And you put them into practice. And some of you learned how to, you know, I guess they call it, the 10 key? Is that what it is? If you know how to do a calculator real good, and then some of you are good at computers. It's just repetition. But then you stop doing it, and it's like, where did it go? You know, you're like, I can't even get my hand to do that anymore. I can't, and things like that. So anyway, browse a book. You're breaking it down one book at a time. Then we're going to learn how to even break it down farther. We're going to learn how to chart a chapter. Okay, so browse a book collectively, but then we're going to chart the chapter. We're going to break it down because obviously the book of Jude, that's going to be real easy. All right, it's got one. All right, I think there's another one or two that's got one. And, you know, turn to the book of Jude. And that's what we used to say. What chapter? Durr. And it's like, okay, it's right after Hezekiah. Turn to the book of Hezekiah. But anyway, so we're going to browse a book. Next week we'll look about charting a chapter. Then we're going to break it down more. We're going to probe a paragraph. So inside that chapter, we're going to shrink it down to a paragraph. And then we're going to visualize a verse. In other words, examine that verse. We're going to show you how to, tonight we're going to browse the book, or show you how to browse the book. We won't browse one. We'll just lay out how to. And then we'll, next week, show you how to chart a chapter, and then we'll learn how to probe the paragraph, and then we'll visualize or examine that verse. And then, you know, some of you might have caught on by now, the whole book, the chapter, a paragraph or a portion of that chapter, and then we get it down to the verse, but inside those verses there's some words. So we're going to learn how to weigh some words. And again, you know, we ought not take things out of context. But when you're breaking it down, you're learning to analyze or be analytical with the Bible. You break it down, browse the whole book, chart the chapter, probe the paragraph, visualize the verse, weigh the word, and then here's some, tabulate some topics. All right, tabulate some topics. So you take all that, or that's organized, And the Bible says, let all things be done decently in order. God is the God of order, and He wants it organized. So that's what He's tabulated topics all through this book. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight on how to analyze the Bible. And tonight we're going to look at browsing a book. So a couple things here. I'll read you some statements, introductory statements. There are more extensive ways to study the Bible and than just reading it. Okay? And so, you know, again, all of us Christians, that you know, we have our checklist. I didn't cuss today. I didn't have any bad thoughts today. I read my Bible today. I didn't punch anybody in the face today. I didn't get road rage today. And you have all those things that maybe the Holy Spirit says, you need to work on this. And so we have our little, you know, personalized checklist. And reading the Bible every day is good. And the Bible does say that, but it also says meditate on it. It also says study it. And so, oh my goodness. It's just like some of your jobs. I didn't realize what I was getting into. Now I've got to, you know, there's some jobs you have to take a class because they've changed things. You know, computer programs, you know, different, you know, laws. Like I said, we grew up moving mobile homes back in the day. As long as you had a truck that would get it from point A to point B, throw some blocks and some wood up underneath there, that was it. But now, I mean, you've got to have tie downs. You have to have these crisscross things. It has to be a certain amount. You know, you have to go to all these classes. To figure out why, because they just keep changing things and adding to. Same way with laws. If you're selling property or surveying property, all these laws they have to go through, and you have to learn it. So, in reading the Bible, yes, you ought to read it, but there's going to be ways that you need to analyze it. So, next statement is this: the difference between Bible reading devotionally and analytically is just the intensity. Okay. So you're going to read it the same way. You're reading it devotionally. You're just reading your proverb of the day. You're reading your psalm of the day. You're reading the book where you are to get through in a year. You're reading it. But if you're going to study it and analyze it, you're just going to have to ramp up the intensity a little bit. It's kind of like when you're playing sports. They give you a playbook. Here you go. If you're going to be Jobo that doesn't get in the game much, you got your playbook. And you kind of glance over them. Wow, but you're not getting in. So you don't need to know it very close. But if you're the quarterback, I mean, you got to know your plays. You got to know your receiver's plays. You got to know your running back's plays. You got to know your pulling guard's plays. You got to know what they're supposed to be doing. So you better know that playbook upside down, inside out, backwards, forwards, or you're going to get killed. And so same thing here. Reading the Bible, when it says study to show thyself approved, I got to put a little bit more intensity in it. Again, I agree. The pastor ought to have intensive Bible study. And the deacon should, and the Sunday school teacher should. But every Christian, let's just amp it up a little bit. The difference between Bible reading and devotional and analytical is just the intensity. So don't replace either with either. So in other words, I'm not going to say, all right, I'm just going to be an intense Bible studier. Okay? And I mean, I'm just study. But don't talk to people. Don't share it with people. Don't put it into practice. And there's people out there like that. They're educated idiots. I mean, they know it. I mean, they can tell you whose brother is whose and all those genealogies. They could just quote them. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so. And you're like, what? But then they're not saved. They don't go to church faithful. They don't tithe. You know, they're not a good witness, but they know the ins and the outs of this book. So you replace Bible reading with analytics, and you're just going to be an educated moron, goober. That's what I'm saying. It's better to know one verse and do it to the best of your ability than know them all and do nothing. So I'm not saying let's throw out Bible reading, let's throw out applying it to our life, and let's... No. I'm not saying that. Let's do that. So, for example, analytic Bible study is this: the whole book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Give you a couple examples of this. So, we're supposed to read the whole or imagine the whole, but then execute the parts. And then we see here survey study, then analytical study, bringing in tighter. Skyscraper views. These days, you know, you got drones. Obviously, we've been looking for houses forever. And that's one of the things. You can get an on the realtor.com or Zillow. I hope I never have to look at them again. But anyway, you can do virtual video tours. It's like you're walking through the house. All right, and the guy's like, and you're like getting sick. Right? But then they have an aerial view. And I'll admit, I was looking at the aerial views. Why? Because I wanted to see if there was some woods close by. And praise the Lord, we found one with some woods in the backyard. And then not only some woods, but some more woods that is connected to those woods. Okay, aerial view. But now I'm going to go analytical, and I'm going to find which tree I'm going to put my tree stand in. Not just the woods, but that one tree. Okay, so same thing here. When I'm studying the Bible, obviously I want a skyscraper view. That's the Word of God. But now I'm going to zero in analytically and find out what this chapter says, what this verse says, what this word means, and study it. So we have the, you know, skyscraper view, where the rubber meets the road. We need both. Because again, where the rubber meets the road is going to help you to be the right kind of husband and the right kind of mom and the right kind of friend. You know, skyscraper view, I've got a LLD and all this stuff, and I have this and all these letters, and you know, I got degrees all over my wall, things like that. Whoopee-doo. Unless you're doing what it says do, it doesn't matter how educated you are. So we get the skyscraper view, but we want that ground level or that where the rubber meets the road. Then we have the panoramic sweep, and then we have the microscopic focus. Okay, a panoramic, you know, that's just, you know, you can do your phone now. You can go, the only time I've ever done it, I think, was at a stadium. I think it was the Georgia Bulldog Stadium, you know. God's country, right? So, you know, hit it, hold your phone, and you just go like this. And then you let it go, and it's got that panoramic view. But then you have that microscope focus. That's what we're talking about. So the two main reasons to survey before you analyze, okay? So again, don't skip the survey. Don't skip the panoramic view to get to the microscope. That's what the devil's going to do. The devil will try to get people to be so smart and so, you know, wise that they don't need God. So again, he's gonna, if you get into Bible study and you get into this, that's, you know, I've seen people, they mess up. You know, they start arguing about stuff, and then they start talking about tulips, and they start talking about this, and they bring in false religion because, you know, it can't be that simple. Because they're trying to get microscopic. And then again, that pendulum, you know, some people say, well, I'm just not going to study because I'm not going to become one of those educated idiots. And then we really, you know, don't know what the Bible says. We need to know what it says. We need to be balanced. We need to be Holy Spirit led, things like that. Don't let it go to your head. So when you see the survey, before you analyze, it says here, you'll see each part as extended or as it is intended, or the emphasis that God put it there. So in other words, don't get so educated that you forget about why God put it there, and so forth. So look at the whole picture. God put it there because He loves us. God put it there because He created us. God put it there because He has a will for us. God put it there. So I'm not telling you to lose focus on the whole thing. You get all the way down to that one little bitty point, and you just explain God away. So see each part as its relation to the other parts. This is what studying in context, and I used the word a couple weeks ago about hermeneutics, and that is context of the Scripture. You don't take a phrase and build a religion, or take a phrase and build a belief. No, in context. So knowing one's bearing is far... let me read it again. Knowing one's bearing in a forest of facts is tremendous help when it comes to Bible study. I'll say that again. All right, knowing one's bearing, you know... You can go outside and, you know, right now I guess we might could figure out which way is north, south, east, and west if the sun hadn't went all the way down. So in other words, you're trying to get your bearings. You know, again, most of you think if you're going up a hill, that's north. Not necessarily. All right. Okay. If you're going down a hill, that's got to be south. No, not necessarily. Okay. But we do have the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. And so then you have a compass or whatever. You can find your bearings. So same thing in the Bible. When you're going into a forest of facts, I mean, there's tons of facts in this book. So if you just jump off in the forest full of facts, it's tremendous help if you'll get your bearings first. So I'm not saying dive into one little bitty word and forget about the surroundings. Again, I used to use a deer hunting illustration a while ago about the woods and that panoramic, I mean, that skyscraper view, that drone view. Same thing when I went hunting with my dad as a teenager. He'd tell me, he said, okay, if you shoot a deer, you stay in that stand. Do not get down. I don't care how big he is. You do not get down till I get there, and then you can show me where he was standing or she was standing, and we can go from there. Because if you just come down that tree and you run over to that spot, the forest is going to look like the forest. You're not going to have any bearings. Well, I think she was or he was. No. You stay in the stand. I'll get there. You pick that spot, lock in on it, and say right there by that tree or right there by that bush, and we can have a spot to start from. Okay? And so same thing here. We got to have a view. But if you're going to zero in on one specific spot, that's what you're going to have to do. So knowing one's bearing will help you in this. So another one, many questions on the interpretation of a verse in the Bible are answered when the location of that verse and in that book references to the context of the of the whole chapter. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. If there is a question. My mentality on this is that the Bible says the mysteries belong to God. So even in, I mean, intense Bible study, there's going to be some things we can't figure out. I mean, that's just it. His ways are higher than our ways. His mind's higher than our mind. We're not going to be able to figure it out. And so these guys, they say, you know, oh, well, God let me in on a, it's not of a private interpretation. So these yahoos that get on TV and say, I know when Jesus is coming back. Educated moron. I've got it all figured out. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I ascended and saw this. Educated moron. So, again, we see that we can't get that way. So the Bible says browse a book. Or not the Bible says, but these notes say browse a book. I'll give you these real quickly. When you're browsing a book, find the historical background. Now, the best, I guess, encyclopedia, thesaurus, commentary, whatever help book you can imagine. The best book to help the Bible is the Bible. All right? This is inspired. I have a Strong's Concordance. I have a Cruden's Concordance. I got some Matthew Henry commentaries. I got the Pulpit Commentary. I got all kinds of books in there. But if that book says something different than this book, I'm going with this book. So there are helps. And you can Google anything. All right? Where's the verse in the Bible that says da 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 da? It'll come up. And now they've taken it a step further. I don't know this, because I want to do it this way. I want to analytically study, and I want to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I want to preach what God tells me to preach. But you can go to AI and say, it's Easter Sunday. Write me a sermon on the resurrection. And there it is. I mean, it's there. And so, again, that's not studying. That's cheating. It's kind of like going to school. Here, take this test for me. You're smarter than I am. Just give it back to me at the end. That's cheating. You're not getting any smarter. They are, because they actually studied and so forth. So find the historical background. First step in surveying, find out the author. Now, there's several in the Bible that says so-and-so wrote this. Like the book of Acts doesn't say who wrote it. Okay, if you read Acts 1 and you read Luke 1, 1 through 4, very similar in how it starts. You know, some of them will say greetings and so-and-so and prayer and salutations and oh great Theophilus and all that kind of stuff. They'll have a kind of an introduction verse. So most people think Luke wrote the book of Acts. And so forth. Again, I'm not going to get in a fist fight over that. I'm not going to die on that hill. But anyway, we see here the historical background. What are we doing? We're looking for the author. We know God wrote it. He may have used these holy men. The date. Okay, and again, there's books you can look at, and it'll say somewhere between A.D. 61 and A.D. So again, I'm not going to fight over that. Well, bless God, I need to know what. No, you just need to know we're surveying the date and the place that it took place, like where at in the world, the purpose of that book. Why was that book written? Obviously, we know the church. Let's just pick one of Pauline's epistles, the church at Corinth. What's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? Why was it written? Paul had led a bunch of people to the Lord. They'd gotten the church started. Obviously, if you read in there, we know they were a little bit baby Christians. They were a little bit worldly. And he wrote. Why did he write? The purpose was to tell them to, hey, buck up a little bit. Let's grow in Christ. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that was the purpose of the book. So we look at historical background. Secondly, we see the survey of the process. All the Bible study is in progression from obscurity to sight. That's what God's trying to do, is people that don't know, He's wanting them to know. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I didn't know how to be saved. Now I do. I didn't know how to be a soul winner. Now I do. I didn't know how to be different from the world, but now I do. That's what we're doing. We're reading these, survey these processes to see what it wants us to fix or change or repent of. So read, reread, and read again. So in this analytic study, it's just like reading it for daily devotion. So you read, and what you do, you make some first impressions. As I read through it this time, I'm analytically studying this. I read through it maybe a little slow, maybe just like a browse, and I made some first impressions. Then read it again. And a lot of times you'll learn something the second read more than you will the first read, because you're like, I didn't see that a while ago. And make some more, the repeated impressions. And then read it a third time and see what made it through those enduring impressions. That made it through. So it's not a shortcut. There is no such thing in a shortcut for Bible study. You got to do it. There's no shortcut, in a lot of things in life. So read it. Let it soak into your heart and into your mind as it was like rain would be absorbing the earth. And now we're in Isaiah 55:10, and we'll read this for closing. Isaiah 55:10. Why do I need to analytically study the Bible? I'm not a preacher, I'm not a deacon, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Why do I need to do that? Well, in the Bible it says this, Isaiah 55, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, so this is not to the preacher, to the deacon, to the Sunday school teacher, this is to every Christian. He said, hey, just like when it's raining outside. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow, and we had a couple of those this year, from heaven, and returneth not thither. In other words, that water comes down, and again, I know evaporation and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But it's not like it's bouncing and going right back up. It stays down here for a little bit. All right, so just like the water comes down, the snow comes down, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth a bud. And so again, this is what God did. God designed the water and the ground and all the nutrients that it needed, and it would supply that. It would cause things to bud. Right now, everything's budding around here. That's why we're sniffling and sneezing, and our eyes are watering, things like that. Why? Because it's growing. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So just like God said, hey, I created this world, and rain has to be there. Nutrients has to be there. I want stuff to bud. I want stuff to grow. I want you to be able to be sustained by what you eat. Verse 11. Now we go from farming to Bible reading. Verse 11. So shall my word. So just like that rain comes, and just like it gives nutrients, and just like it produces something, I want my Bible to do the same thing. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And here, a lot of people can quote this part of the verse. It shall not return void unto me. Or unto me void. And so again, that's why you say if you pass out a tract, it's not going to return void. If you give a witness, it's not going to return void. That planting of that seed is going to stay there. But it shall accomplish that which I please. And so God says, I want you to read and study this Bible so it can do a work in you that I'm pleased with. Okay, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So when I'm reading this Bible, it speaks to me. When I study this Bible, God is doing things in it. So we can, as we're reading, we can maybe title the chapter. Maybe we can make a list of major events. We can make a list of major truths. We can maybe outline the book. And then we can list some topics that it brings up. And we can list some experiences that Israel had or Jesus had or other people that might have had. We can look at it geographically, where it took place. And then in our own words, we can write down the theme or write down key words that expresses that theme. So browsing a book will help us. And we'll look at charting a chapter next Wednesday. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to help us to do just like Isaiah said here. The Bible needs to be studied, no matter who we are. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to create that desire in us, that intensity. Again, not to be an educated moron, not to be a Pharisee, but that we can dot every I, cross every T, and please you in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.